I love the fact that we can come to worship and laughter can be such a major part of our service time, even if we are laughing at Kevin's vision. But I do love that. I grew up in what most of you would call a traditional Southern Baptist church. While I might argue whether or not they were really Baptist, they were, in the truest sense of the word, but they were Baptist in the Southern Baptist way. So, because my family attended faithfully, I attended Sunday school and training union and GAs and choir and vacation Bible school and every other activity that they could come up with. This meant that I knew all the basic Bible stories. By the time I was a youth, I could tell you all the books of the Bible. I could pretty much tell you all the stories of Jesus and the basic Old Testament stories. You know, Noah, Jonah, Moses, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, David and Goliath. You know, the big ones. You know, the big ones. And if I'm going to be honest with you, the New Testament was the living part of the Bible, and the Old Testament was kind of, you know, before everything changed. Oh, yes, the Old Testament stories, you know, they gave us some good information. And they showed me a real powerful, often irritated God that expected a lot from us. But my complete understanding of salvation stemmed from the New Testament. The Old Testament were just stories that they helped me understand the lineage of Christ and maybe the traditions, but not really salvation. As I've grown up and learned to study the Old Testament a little, I've realized the importance of that connection with the Old Testament and what it plays in our faith. I even spent a whole year preaching from the Old Testament, which wasn't exactly easy, but I made it through. I think Transfiguration Sunday is a perfect time to see the importance of the Old Testament and to recognize that we can receive new insight when we look at both the old and the new together and how they tie so closely together. When we look at Moses' experience in Exodus, when we see that Moses' meeting with God on the Mount Sinai is essential to the people of Israel, as they were about to face 40 years, a 40-year journey through the wilderness to the Promised Land. Moses was the sign for those people that God was there for them. They weren't alone, and they needed to know that. And Moses was their light on this journey. The light of God reflected through him. When we look at Peter and James and John's experience, it was essential to the disciples as they faced this terrifying time of the Passion. They needed to see that God was with them. And even though they didn't know it yet, the journey for them was about to get really difficult. Jesus' transfiguration became the light for those disciples. Both texts are important to us today as we set out on our own personal journey of Lent. The 40 days, as we spend time alone in prayer, as we face temptations, as we're asked to overcome some of our worst fears, as we face suffering and pain, and as we die to self in order to gain completeness in Christ. You might know this and you might not, but traditionally Lent is the time when things are very solemn. No alleluias. No celebrations. Very solemn. Don't smile. And I understand that these next days are to be about remembering and thinking about the suffering in Christ. But the transfiguration is about Christ becoming our light, giving us hope through this time. Helping us know what is to come and that we're not alone. We will be a little more solemn during Lent. But I'm guessing that there were times during that time that Jesus found a place to smile. And who found moments to laugh with the disciples. It's interesting to me that Moses didn't need his experience on the mountaintop. Moses' relationship with God was very much alive and vibrant. That mountaintop experience were for the people of Israel. The transfiguration of Moses, that changing of Moses, was so that the people of Israel could see Moses' closeness to God, so they could see with their own eyes that they had found favor with God. Now they could trust that God was among them, nurturing them and protecting them and leading them. Jesus' transformation, his changing, his become dazzling white, wasn't important for Jesus. Jesus didn't need the encounter. He was already in close relationship with God. The encounter was solely for the benefit of the disciples. They needed to at least begin to understand all that was about to happen. They needed to see that God was indeed present and that Jesus was being led by God. It was important to their faith. As we begin this journey into Lent, we don't necessarily need a mountaintop experience. We spend time here together, worshiping together. We know the stories. We know what is to come. Yes, we know that Easter is at the end of Lent. So we don't have to let that go or get us down. But sometimes the light that shines on Jesus surprises even us. And we recognize how much we need to be reassured of whose we are. Sometimes we need to be reminded of what our real reason for being here is. And sometimes we need that reminder that it's going to be okay. It's not going to stay dark. What happens when Jesus is standing there with Moses and Elijah? Peter wants to do what most of us want to do most of the time. Let me do something. We're really good doers, aren't we? Let's get a hammer, let's get some nails, a few guys, and we can whip up a temple. No, wait, we can do three. We can do one for Moses and one for Elijah and one for Jesus. We can make this happen. What are you waiting for? Let's get busy. We've become a society of identifying ourselves by what we do. Sit next to anyone on a plane or a train, or walk up to anyone at a gathering. And it doesn't take very long before the question comes. What do you do? What do you do? It's become so important in our world. What we do becomes who we are. And I'm not saying it's not important. We talk about it all the time. We need someone to do this. We need you to do this. We need everyone to do this. Sure, Christ calls us to be disciples, to do. But Christ's call to discipleship issues forth in all sorts of ways and in all sorts of doing. But only as our response and not as our condition. for identity. This identity comes only as a gift, pure grace, free and undeserved. Yet we've all but forgotten, or heaven forbid, never even known simply how to be. We get so action-oriented that we often fail, like Peter, to be contemplative, spiritual, grounded, and centered in that essential reality of God's presence in our lives. Simply to stand before and in awe of the mystery of God so that our doing can be meaningful, purposeful, sustainable. We forget to listen and be quiet and, frankly, to worship. We gathered together this morning, as we do every Sunday morning, and we walked through the service as we do, and then we began to pray. And before we prayed, we had just some silent time. And that silence is so important for me, and I don't even usually recognize it until I stop. And all the things that distract me start to float away. And after Kevin prayed, he said, "Wow, I get so task-driven, sometimes I forget to stop." Sometimes the light surprises all of us. The most amazing part of the whole gospel story is that we can't do anything to receive it. It's freely given. The part of the passion that we also have to embrace is that there's nothing we can do to save ourselves from the suffering. But there's also no way we can shield ourselves from that true light that we sang about. The light of God that sheds hope in our darkest moments. The light on the mountaintop gives us something to hold on to. And as we descend into the crushing reality of the world below, the light is still there. And there's nothing we can do to shield it. An artist knows that everything they create depends less on the subject matter and far more on the subject's relationship to the light. Our emotion, our reaction, is not to the object, but to the way the artist presents it in the light and how we respond to that reflection. Don't try to hide the light this Lenten season. Don't fear the darkness. We're not alone. The light is there to sustain us and to give us hope. Amen and amen.